Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome to The Big Show. We are also streaming on Facebook Live, and we got a lot of stuff happening this morning and now into the early afternoon that is critically important to our regional economy. This head tax vote, this is going to make or break our region's economy going forward in so many ways. So let's get right to our top story.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Okay, so you just had this in your newscast, Ursula.
Yes.
So they just had a vote a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And
as of right now, the mayor's head tax compromise proposal is rejected. And what Mike Lewis was just on, he said it's not totally dead, though. You know, now they're supposed to possibly vote on Monday, but they're going to be working through the weekend. And one of the ideas would be, okay, revise it even more, because the mayor, for people who are just tuning in, had proposed going from $500 per employee per year to $250, basically
250.
Cutting it in half.
Yeah. Which is still outrageous, and I'll get into that in just a minute. Yeah.
During today's debate, Shama Sawan had actually proposed doubling that amount, not doubling the mayor's amount, but doubling the original amount.
Well, in fact, let me play that soundbite here, because she said that on Q13 a couple of days ago. This is the camel's nose under the tent. They want us to get the head tax in. They said for $75 million, but here's the real plan.
Let's be clear. This is half of $75 million, which itself was half of $150 million, which itself is not enough, because overall in King County we need 14,000 affordable housing units.
Wow, she's really good at math. No wonder she taught economics.
Okay, and Dory, just because you were still putting together some elements of the show, so you didn't hear this part from Mike a few minutes ago, where now there's some talk about changing it to $350 per employee per year. So.
Yeah.
And he also said that Shama Sawant was the only one who supported any idea of
the 500.
Of doubling it.
Right. Well, but or doubling what?
Yeah,
right now she wants to double what Durkin proposed. This whole thing is insane. Either the head tax is a good idea or it's a bad idea. And Jenny Durkin once again shows that she is not working as a leader of this region. She won't say how she feels about the head tax, so then she proposed, well, let's just cut it in half. Well, Swat, maybe you should have proposed $1,000 per employee, because Durkin would have just cut that in half as her compromise. The fact is, head taxes kill jobs. We're proposing about 10 times what Chicago did and abandoned because it was a job killer. Durkin's grand compromise is still five times what Chicago did and abandoned as a job killer. Either the head tax is a good idea or it's a bad idea. And this notion that Durkin is somehow some great compromiser because she just said, let's take the crazy idea and cut it in half. It's still a crazy idea to tax employers for providing jobs. Taxes are a drag on whatever is taxed. Sin taxes, alcohol, cigarettes are designed to have people drink and smoke less. The sugar tax is designed to make people consume less sugar. The job tax will have the same effect. It will mean fewer jobs. It will mean less employment. And if we do this in our booming economy, it is going to be disastrous for the entire region. I cannot believe the spinelessness of everybody in local government. Because once you have decided, and you know all of my reasons, if you listen to the show, and I've pretty clearly and carefully articulated why I think the head tax is a bad idea. I think it's bad at $500 a year. It's bad at $250 a year. Now they're talking about $350 a year. It's bad at $50 a year. It's just a bad idea economically. to punish employers for providing jobs, which is what this would do. Durkin is spineless. Let's just cut it in half. Oh, what a grand, grand bargain of a compromise there. Okay, so let's go through what happened earlier today at this meeting. Believe it or not, Kshama Sawant had some complaints. I know that's hard to believe, but she actually complained.
First of all, this is the Bezos-Durkin deal. I mean, other council members who are supporting this deal can say that it is their deal. I mean, it's fine. It's not something that I would tout as something I did. It's not something to be proud of, but whatever. Let's be clear. This is half of $75 million, which itself was half of $150 million.
We just heard that part of her nonsense.
Because overall,
this is half of $300 million, which is half of $600 million. Just keep going. It's just half of 1.2 billion. So she just wants more money. So the five people who rejected Durkin's crazy, let's cut it in half, it's because they want more than 250 bucks. So here's what I hope happens, and this could happen. The five greediest council members, and that's Sawant, Lorena Gonzalez, Mike O'Brien, who, by the way, went to both Lakeside and Duke. Teresa Mosqueda and Lisa Herbold, who, by the way, is a grandma with a nose ring. How hip. So they're the five who said that Durkin's proposal is too little. We're not taking enough money from other people. So Mike Johnson, the bike path liar, Sally Bagshaw, the child rape apologist, Deborah Juarez, I don't have a good nickname for her yet, give me time, and Bruce Harrell, they all said, no, let's go with Durkin. Let's cut it in half. So here's what could happen now. So the five greediest council members say, no, we insist on more than whatever it'd be, $40 million a year that the Durkin compromise would bring in. So they say, no, we want more money. So they vote for whatever, $350 per person, $500 per person. And then it goes to Durkin. Durkin vetoes it. And then they get nothing. Then all of them get nothing, which, by the way, is the only good solution for the taxpayers, for the region, for our employers, and for our economy. There should be no head tax. Like the construction workers, they didn't chant, let's cut it in half, let's cut it in half. No, their chant was no head tax, no head tax. And that should be the only thing that any of us should want going forward. No head tax. Why? Because you hate the homeless, Monson? No, because we already spend more on homelessness than any city in the United States of America. And giving incompetent people more money to spend when they have squandered in Seattle and King County $200 million a year, and the problem just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Other major cities see a decrease in homelessness. Ours explodes. Why? Because we spend so much money frivolously. And we let people build them a tiny home where they can inject heroin. Well, of course that sounds attractive to the heroin user in Tulsa. Seattle police won't arrest you if you inject heroin right in front of a cop downtown. Well, of course, if you live in Bloomington, Indiana, Seattle's the place to be, man. You can shoot up in front of the cops and the taxpayers will give you a home where you can continue to shoot up. Well, that sounds like heaven if you're a heroin addict. And that's why the problem's as bad as it is. We shouldn't give them one more penny for all of this. So I'm hopeful that the infighting and the greed of the greediest council members, the four who want the Durkin plan and Durkin herself, they are also greedy. They have no plan. They have not at all talked about what should be the top priority, and that is drug treatment and mental health counseling and job training. That is not a part of any of these plans. It's just, let's build a place where people can continue to use heroin, and we'll give them a roof over their heads. And so, and Juarez talked this morning about the fact that they don't have a plan.
If we tax jobs to build houses and jobs leave because of the tax, no houses get built. Then this tax in and of itself undermines its purpose to shelter the unsheltered. We don't have a 100% plan that gets all of this directly to building homes.
We don't have a 100% plan. You don't have a 1% plan. And as long as you put anywhere other than at the top of the priority list, drug treatment and mental health counseling and job training, you will continue to have the streets littered with heroin addicts. You have no plan. And they don't want to help lives. That is proven. Everything that I've said is proven now, that these council members do not want to help lives. They want to use the sad plight of heroin addicts so that they can collect hundreds of millions of dollars more.
Seattle is expensive, land is expensive, and therefore, where are we going to physically build these houses?
The grandma with the nose ring, she said something that was ridiculous as well.
Given the current homeless housing stock and vacancy rate, even if no one else joined the community queue, fell into homelessness, it would take more than 7 years for everyone to secure housing in the entire county. These are people who are already on a list and are only supposed to wait for no more than 60 days for housing.
So 7 years to get everybody into housing. Lisa Herbold, I will bet you $100,000 that if this plan passes, you won't have everybody into housing in 7 years. You're just lying when you say that. The 10-year plan to end homelessness in 2004. We've spent over $1 billion, and we have more homeless than ever before. But homelessness being the politically correct catch-all for the people who are homeless through no fault of their own, through horrible family and domestic violence situations, and we're lumping them in with the person who has made heroin their lifestyle of choice and doesn't want any help. Lorena Gonzalez is one of the greediest council members, and she says, no, the Durkin compromise isn't enough money.
I cannot support a $250 proposal here. The reality is that the spending plan associated with the $250 proposal before us simply continues to fund the things we have always continued to fund, and I think that this the dollars and the revenue generated from this tax need to be squarely focused on deeply subsidized housing for those people who...
Let's not talk about drug treatment at all. Let's just talk about building places where people can use heroin and drink themselves to death. What an absolutely devoid of compassion bunch this city council is. And so the vote came down just minutes ago.
All those in favor of supporting Amendment 17, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye.
So that's the Durkin, let's cut it in half, which is insane.
1, 2, 3, 4. All those opposed?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said all those opposed. No. Okay, so...
I didn't hear you. The first line was all those in favor. And she couldn't figure out what the next line... I'm sorry, what? What comes after all those in favor? How can anybody go into politics? How can anybody sit through these meetings? How can anybody sit and listen to Sawant in their meetings? I get annoyed if I have to have one meeting every 2 months here at work. Can you? And most of the people here at work, they're pure of motives. hey, let's do everything we can to, you know, support you, help your show. Let's get the best ratings possible. It's not this money grab. Let's let people kill themselves on our watch. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. I got to play that again. I'm just hearing this audio for the first time.
Raise your hand and say aye. Aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4. All those opposed?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said all those opposed.
That's quite a group we got down there at City Hall. Oh, hey, speaking of which, one of those councilmen who wants the most money, Mike O'Brien, I tried again last night to reach out to him because one of my listeners tweeted to Mike O'Brien and asked him, why are you so afraid or unwilling to go on Monson's show? And I've told you, he's ticked off because I busted his wife's illegal employee thing with her business a few years ago. And I know he doesn't like that. But a listener asked, and so I really want to get inside the head. I know Sawant won't come on because she hung up on me last time because I exposed the hypocrisy of the big money connections that this so-called socialist has. But one of my listeners, Sid, tweeted to Mike O'Brien, good morning, Michael. Is it personal or professional fear which inhibits you from appearing on the Dory Monson show? Other than statements, facts being verified, perhaps it's exposure that you dread? One can grow intellectually and emotionally by admitting failure. And I followed that up to Mike O'Brien. And I really mean this, and I want to publicly proclaim it. I said, Mike, I sincerely invite you to come on my show. There are many issues on which we passionately disagree, but they are critically important to this city that I love. I assure you the conversation will be respectful, but no doubt passionate. What do you say? So I've tried. We've called his office. We've emailed his office. I have now tweeted to him. And I'm pledging to you, my listener, that if he comes on, I'll be respectful. I'll be passionate. And maybe it'll get heated. I'll be real. You know, respectful means I'll stick with facts. But I really want to get inside the head of somebody who thinks that we're on the right path. When we have record number of ODs in our area, when we have record number of people addicted to heroin, needles in all of our schools and playgrounds and parks. Property crime, highest property crime level of any of the 20 major cities in the United States of America. And that's the reported property crimes. The unreported probably doubles the number. I would love to talk with somebody who thinks we're on the right path. So, again, I pledge to you, my listener, that I'll be passionate, I'll be real. I'm not going to be a wimp about it, but if he comes on, I'll stick with facts with the man. It won't be personal at all. And so, Mike O'Brien, come on. Explain to me how you think we're on the right path and more money to continue what's gotten us to this point will somehow make things better. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to talk to the state politician here, Nicole, live. Right after the news?
Yes, we are.
Okay. There is a Democrat legislator from Issaquah who says that maybe the state legislature has to step in and just ban this whole head tax idea because of the horrible effect it'll have on our statewide economy. So he's going to join me live right after Isla checks the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio, 206-726-6819.
So we're trying to find out. It sounds like the five people who rejected the Durkin so-called compromise, that they are going to go forward and pass out a committee the plan for the $500 per person head tax for drug addicts. And so they still want to get the $75 million a year from businesses, $20 million from Amazon, but about 499 other companies that would be affected, including a lot of retailers that are on the brink, including grocery stores that have tiny margins. And if Seattle goes down this disastrous economic path, who will save us from ourselves? Well, the state legislature might have to step in. And a member of the state legislature, Mark Mullett, he's a Democrat from Issaquah, and he joins us live here on Cairo Radio. Mark, it's good talking with you again.
Hey, hello. Nice to be back.
So you are talking about if Seattle goes with this head tax that the state legislature might have to step in. Tell me why.
Well, I think our message at the state level is we're trying to get businesses to invest in Washington State under the premise that if they do, we're going to be their partner, not their enemy. And if you have the largest city in your state completely undermining that message, I think it's a real problem. So that's why I think you could have to look at legislation when we're back in session in January. My ultimate goal is to keep them from moving forward with what I think is a bad policy proposal. But if they decide to do it anyways, then I think we really have to seriously look at things we can do at the state level and to prevent people from taxing employment like this.
Okay, but if Seattle and you and I agree that this would be a disastrous economic path, but if Seattle voters put this city council in place, and if this city council decides to go down what is a disastrous path, what is the role and what are the dynamics of state government versus Seattle government if that's what Seattle decides to pursue?
And that's, you're asking the million-dollar question. I mean, I came to the Senate from the Issaquah City Council, so I appreciate the importance of local control. At the same time, I mean, I think my challenge is I own, you know, I'm selling pizza and ice cream in Issaquah. Mm-hmm. So the thought that you're only impacting the Seattle businesses, you're only impacting large businesses is insanity, because my customers, even though they live in Issaquah, this is where they work. So if you have local policies that are having broad negative regional impacts, that's right. The reason why we have the state legislature is to prevent that from happening.
Well, so, you and I have talked before, Mike. You are a business owner and you understand real world economics, something that I think too often is missing from politics at whatever level. But here's my absolute belief. We're on an economic bubble right now. And even with that, there are a lot of companies that are teetering on the brink that are just barely getting by, whether it's the minimum wage or the flex scheduling, the head tax now. We've got retailers. I mean, yeah, Macy's and Nordstrom, the retail environment is disastrous right now, where Northgate Mall might be closing shop. And when we have that economic cycle, that downturn that is inevitable, Seattle is setting itself up for a disaster. And I truly think it could be as bad or worse from what Detroit went through with the auto bust, what Seattle went through with the Boeing bust back in the early 70s, I think that we are setting ourselves up for economic disaster in this region right now.
Yeah, I don't like any of their policy suggestions. And yeah, it's really frustrating as someone who's operating a small business outside the city limits. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think the state legislature has a role, is their bad policy decisions are going to have broad impacts way beyond just the city of Seattle.
Okay, so again, what could you do? What could you as the legislature do about this?
Well, I think where you would put the Seattle delegation in a really difficult spot is the state invests hundreds of millions of dollars in affordable housing, and I think I would be very comfortable saying, hey, let's try to solve their problem. Let's make the investments in affordable housing, and we can increase those investments. But as a trade-off, we're going to preempt people like Seattle from imposing onerous taxes like what they're suggesting.
So you would withhold state housing money from cities that have a head tax?
I think that, to me, is one policy suggestion you go down, is saying, hey, here's the next block of affordable housing dollars are coming out. But if, you know, the trade-off is you can't have this policy in place, you know, if you want to get the enhanced affordable housing funding. And so if you're willing to help them solve what they say is the problem, I don't understand how they would object to that at that point, I guess. But I know they would. I don't think they would have a good policy reason to object to that.
Okay.
As long as we're trying to commit state dollars to help solve their affordable housing problem, because the problem's real. It's just they're going about trying to solve it the worst possible way, because the only reason we have money at the state level to invest in affordable housing is because of economic growth.
Of course,
so if the largest city sends a message to the world that we don't want to create more jobs here, then we're going to lose our economic growth.
I got a question for you, Mark.
To invest in their problem. Yeah.
I've had you on my show a couple of times. You're a businessman. You understand real world economics. I've agreed with you both times I've had you on the show about economic issues. Why are you a Democrat? I'm serious about that. Why are you a Democrat?
Well, I think you can. I always say I'm socially liberal and fiscally conservative, and that's always been my policy views. And just because I'm supportive of gay people getting married and women getting an abortion doesn't mean that I want to pay more taxes. And so that's kind of my approach to elected office. The 6 years I've been in the Senate has always been that balance of divorcing what I think are socially conservative having to be tied to fiscally conservative. Because to me, those two issues have no correlation whatsoever. And I think that's the reason I get reelected here. I think a lot of the people who live out in these suburbs like Maple Valley and North Bend and Issaquah, I think they agree with that. Like they just don't want to pay. They want smart business decisions. They're not so caught up on these social issues.
No, I know that.
As long as
I hear that from a lot of people. I hear a lot of people say I'm socially liberal, fiscally conservative. But honest to goodness, you're one of the few Democrats who I think makes sense economically. I mean, and I hear a lot of them say that, but you're one of the few who actually makes sense when you dig a little deeper beyond that phrase.
I think it helps when you're own a business where you're writing the paycheck every 2 weeks to your staff. I think you have a different perspective as well, because you're a little more, when people come out with these arguments that these business owners are rolling in all this extra money, you know that's a bunch of crap. So it's easier to push back, I think, on the false arguments that come out, because you know it's not true from your own personal experience.
Okay. See if you can talk some sense into the rest of your party now, would you?
Seattle City Council I'm focused on right now.
Okay, all right. All right, Mark, it's good talk with you. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, have a good day. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, State Senator Mark Mullett of Issaquah. What do you think about all this? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Or email me, mynorthwest.com. Dory Monson Show page. Instant messages come right to us. Did you hear the Trump rally last night? Got the latest on that. We'll get back to the Seattle economics and what it means to all of you throughout our state. It's all straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. A listener sent me this song. It's Jenny Durkin, our Seattle mayor. As I've told you, I call her Duckin' Durkin because just like a turducken, where you have to remove all the bones from a chicken and put it in a duck and remove all the bones from a duck and put it in a turkey, so they're spineless. The turduckens. And so far, I just haven't seen anything from Duckin' Durkin that would suggest that she's some great leader around here. If a head tax is a bad idea, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's a bad idea. And just taking a horrible idea and cutting it in half and imposing a horrible idea on business, it's still horrible. I just don't see leadership. And people ask me all the time, what's happening to the $200 million a year that we're already spending on homelessness? We spend more per capita than any city in the country. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning who's in the real estate biz, and he was saying, man, take a look at real estate excise tax, which is, I think, and this is off the top of my head, and it's not exact, but it's about 1.8%. You look at the explosion in Seattle real estate. How many tens or hundreds of millions extra is Seattle collecting because a big chunk of that real estate excise tax goes to the cities? How many tens or hundreds of millions of dollars? And I'm going to get the number over the weekend. I'll have the exact number for you early next week. But we have record tax collections from every source in Seattle. We spend more on homelessness than any city in the country. The problem keeps getting worse and worse. And Duckin' Durkin just wants a head tax. So it looks like the five greediest council members, including Mike O'Brien, that they still want the $500 head tax. Here's O'Brien this morning saying no to Duckin' Durkin's proposal.
My concern about this is that when I look at the spending plan, it says it would produce about 250 additional affordable housing units over 5 years. An additional 50 housing units a year, just to me, falls woefully short of what the need is in community. And so
just the sad, sad people who have decided that they need to rely on government taking money from other people to give to them so that they can have a roof over their head. There are few things sadder to me than people who have given up on managing their own life. And I've told you many times, I grew up in that atmosphere. My mom was just hoping and waiting for a miracle, whether it was Publishers Clearing House or whatever. And I would have been consigned to that life of just relying on other people and hoping that government will take care of me and I hope government will take money from that guy and give it to me. And that is one of the saddest ways to live your life. Because Mike O'Brien doesn't care about you. All he cares about is rewarding his campaign donors and expanding government. And if you sit and applaud that, and I'll tell you something else. Another listener, Linda, sent me a story that I was just reading about in Kansas City, where they're building small houses for people. And they're helping turn lives around. And they have veterans, a lot of veterans, who are living in these tiny houses. But why is it working so well? Well, you pay nothing to live in those tiny houses, just like Seattle. But here's the difference. In Kansas City, if you want to live in those tiny houses, I'm going to read to you. This is in the at kansascity.com. You have to attend strictly scheduled courses on job training, drug rehab, psych counseling, or other programs tailored to help each person move out and move on to places of their own. That's a city that gets it right. Seattle continues to go down the wrong path. Fastest 15 is next.